you have questions about digital photography, you've come to the right place. Welcome to Photo Focus. Here's your host, Scott Bourne.
Welcome to another edition of Photo Focus. So very glad you joined us to talk about photography. And today, you're going to be very glad that you joined us because today's guest host is Tamara Lackey in the house. Hi, Tamara.
Hello.
Everybody's so excited that you're here.
Well, I'm very glad for that.
We've changed the show a little bit since you were last on. Now we just sort of have an open discussion about some things photographic, and then we do some questions. But before we do anything else, I would like to take this opportunity for those that may not have heard of you yet, because we have a lot of new people on the show. Tell us about Redefine.
Redefine is conversations that I'm having with people at the top of their field, whether it is, of course, beloved photography, but cinematography and music and basically creative artistry, where we just talk about stories in terms of their experiences and how they got to where they are. And I once interviewed this guy named Scott Bourne. You should see.
I was going to say people at the top of their game. How did he get on?
Yeah, and I slip in my friends sometimes, talk about just great advice they have that they've learned that I'm personally finding through about 7 months of these interviews now, I've just learned a fantastic amount. Whether or not I even broadcast it is almost irrelevant. Although I do like to broadcast it. So that is a Redefine show. And just in the last few weeks, we launched Redefine Magazine, which is the pre-alpha version. What did you say? What is pre-beta, pre-alpha? What are we calling it?
Virgin Alpha.
Virgin Alpha.
Actually, that said that, just to be accurate.
No, but I called it yours.
Yeah.
Launched the Virgin Alpha version of Redefine Magazine, which we're thrilled about because we have, you know, these great conversations, and then we cut it down to this web-ready tiny 12 minutes, 10 minutes, but we're left with all this content that we're able to display pretty beautifully in a digital magazine format where we can have a lot of interaction and we can have an article and we can link to a video and all kinds of cool stuff. So that's what Redefine is right now.
Well, very cool. I think people should know also that you're just an amazing portrait photographer and you've done a lot of work. And you recently spoke at WPPI, the Wedding and Portrait Photographers International Convention here in Las Vegas, where I was lucky enough to get to spend a few seconds with you anyway, at a couple of different places. And what did you teach on?
So this is actually my fifth year speaking. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
And I think
you're only 6 years old.
I know. I'm a good supporter. This year was the topic. Wow.
You haven't forgotten already. It was just last week.
No, it was building or / rebuilding a portrait business. And the topic was very focused on the idea of running an efficient business and centering down on sales and marketing as it relates to actually maximizing all the work you're doing in photography.
And what were the kind of, did you have any dialogue with the audience or was it mostly you just speaking and them listening?
I asked them all to just be quiet and just stay hushed. Stay hushed until I am finished and then stand up and applaud.
Okay.
That's their directive.
That
never works.
That
yeah.
Never works. So what kind of questions did you get?
You know, there's a lot of questions regarding sales. I think people who are either doing this already or navigating their self into the waters of photography, and be it portrait or wedding or commercial or editorial, all of the time that you're shooting with the purpose of selling the work, you need to be cognizant of how to sell. That is the bottom line. And so to me, I think sales is how you fuel your business. And a lot of the questions I have are centered around like, well, I feel weird selling my work, or I just want them to have it, or you know, I feel really comfortable when I'm shooting or doing this or that, but I don't want to be a cheesy salesperson when it comes to that last part. Those are a lot of the questions that I get, and that we try to step through them from the perspective of, you know, what is your main goal with this whole overall process, and why are you getting all tripped up at the end when that's when you kind of, you know, finalize this entire interaction, hopefully in a way that's positive for everybody involved.
Well, I think that's really good to point out, Tamara. I have to say that a lot of the people I used to teach a adjunct course in professional photography up in Washington State at one of the colleges, and most people that came were a little bit disgruntled to find the truth is that, you know, if you want to be a professional photographer, you better be a professional salesperson or at least hire one, because sales is about 80% of the job, 85% maybe.
Yeah, and I actually started out by saying that I, you know, the there's good news and bad news, and they're both the same thing, which is you're in a 100% sales, 100% commission sales job.
Yeah.
And that is good or bad, depending on how you view it, and let's make it good. So I ended up recording a couple videos that we created, and the first was a, I should send them to you, you'd like it actually, but the first one was a compilation of so much feedback I've heard through workshops and mentoring and speaking and even my own experiences. It was a situation where I, the photographer, sat down with a client, and we basically tried to conduct a sales session in a way that was non-threatening, where I let her know that she was in charge and I didn't want to push anything on her. And I just, I hope she loved the work. And in that 4 minutes kind of showed every single way that you could possibly kill a sale.
Right. Well, most sales don't get made because most people aren't even willing to ask for them, right?
Correct. Yes. And people are going in with the, this is what I found, people are going in with the best of intentions. You're not trying to kill a sale. You just don't believe it'll really happen.
Like, you wouldn't really want to buy a photograph from me, would you?
Right. And in a way that honestly is not, I've never seen somebody do it vindictively or, you know, manipulatively. They just kind of maybe a little bit weirded out by the process. So we kind of show that first. And then I show a secondary video, which is how to do it in a way that's actually compelling and honest and comfortable and successful.
Well, that sounds like fun. I mean, we do, I love to do those kind of videos myself, and a lot of role playing. People need to understand that. Well, let's just run this through some scenarios that I think people will be able to identify with. If you go to a barber or a salon, what is it that you are typically there to do?
Get your hair cut.
So do you think that the barber or the salon people are nervous about asking you to pay for it?
Yeah, exactly.
So when someone comes to your photography studio, do you think they're there to get a haircut?
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying all along. Like, they contacted you, whether you pulled them in through your marketing or requested them to come. Either way, they agreed to this for a reason, that you both were going to get something out of it in a really positive, fulfilling way.
Yeah, so don't be afraid to ask for it. Well, that sounds like a very interesting class. WPPI in general is always very interesting, if nothing else, for the networking.
Yeah, it was fun.
And I have to say, one of the things I noted this year was a lot more women, I mean, especially compared to 15 years ago, and a lot more young people, very young people.
Yeah, photography is awesome. Like, you can quote me on that very thoughtful comment. But I noticed that as well, and I actually had a chance to sit down with George. I interviewed him for Redefined, George Varanakis from WPPI, the show director, I believe, is one of his titles. And he was saying that we were going through the statistics of everybody coming out this year. And, you know, I think in many ways there was a liveliness to it that we don't get to see at all the shows that I really enjoyed.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Well, let's talk about some other stuff that's in the news. But before we do that, we want to thank ViewBug. Home to photo contest. If you like to enter photo contest or just go look at photo contest, viewbug.com is the place to do it. You can click on the ViewBug banner on the Photo Focus site. But more importantly, follow my Twitter feed to get the link to the $10,000 photo contest, which I'm sponsoring at ViewBug, along with a bunch of other great people, including Tamara Lackey, who's provided prizes, therefore. And you can enter your photos, and we're going to have a winner-take-all contest. I promise you, this prize will grow from $10,000 to maybe $15,000 to maybe $20,000 by the end of the year, because we've done this once before, and sponsors kept calling and saying, oh, can we throw something in? And it'll get really fun. But that's all at ViewBug.com. We appreciate their support. Also want to say thanks to Animoto. That's my favorite way to share my photography, and it should be yours too. Check out Animoto.com. You can click on the banner on the PhotoFocus.com site, or just type in Animoto.com, and you can try it for free. And I promise you, it doesn't get any cheaper than that. Tamara, today, Apple announced the new iPad, and they tricked us.
They tricked us.
Because everybody was debating, will it be called the iPad 3, which is the typical naming nomenclature for Apple, because there was the iPad 1, the iPad 2, and they thought iPad 3. And then the press said, no, it's going to be the iPad HD. But you know what the name is?
What?
The new iPad.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah,
that's what they're calling it?
That's what they're calling it.
I missed that. Wow.
It's the new iPad. You can do the whole song. The new iPad. And the reason I'm bringing it up on a photography show is very simple. It has what Apple calls their new Retina display, which is what you see in the iPhone 4S. It is a very high-definition quality screen. And why that's important to us is portfolios.
We like to show our photographs.
Now, do you use anything like an iPad?
I do. I use an iPad.
Okay. Well, that would be very much like an iPad.
I do, but it was only an iPad 2, which I'm embarrassed to even own at this point, now that a new one has been announced.
Okay.
Isn't that how it goes?
Something like that. have you shown pictures on your iPad to people?
I have, and actually the resolution is stunning. I just finished a workshop here in our studio, and people were asking about that. Like, is it okay to show photographs, you know, to clients afterwards on a tiny little iPad versus, you know, a projector set? And I said, they shine on an iPad. They look stunning. You lose, of course, in a sales session, the opportunity to be able to show an image very large, but you make up for it in terms of the resolution and the quality and the pop.
Well, now that's all going to be much, much better because it's HD now.
Yes.
So the way I positioned the iPad from the very beginning was, for me, it's a device to consume media, not to create it. Excuse me. Now, they went ahead and added a camera, and I saw people walking around WPPI using their iPads as cameras, and it just looked weird to me.
Yeah. Well, and they cheated us out of the camera, too.
Yeah. I mean, I was waiting for someone to, like, do a drop cloth over their head and treat it like a view camera or something. I don't know. But for me, when the first iPad came out, I immediately got one. And within days, I was using it as my portfolio. And I got on a plane to somewhere, I can't even remember where, and sold a copy of Cranes and the Fire Mist to one of the flight attendants.
Lovely.
And I have... And here's why I think the iPad, or things like it, for all you Android fans, matters. Because we had gotten away from the physical portfolio. Now, you being a veritable teenager wouldn't remember these days, but...
6 1/4.
Yeah. Those of us who are old, we used to put pictures in books and hand them to people.
Weird.
I know. It's just crazy. There was no Flickr. There was no internet. So we'd hand these books to people. That was called a portfolio. Well, then we kind of went to these big computer screens, and people would sit in our studios, and we'd have a nice big Apple Cinema display or our equivalent product, and we'd show them their pictures and say, which one do you want? Or maybe we'd project. But you know what was missing is the tactile experience and the control that the consumer used to have when we handed them a book, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my big deal with the iPad is when I hand it to you, it's not me showing you pictures on a computer and you sort of having to go, but wait, I wanted to see more of that one. It's like you've got the iPad in your hand. You can swipe and move the pictures at your pace. You can enlarge them. And it's a very tactile experience, and it's reminiscent of those old portfolios. And that's my favorite thing about it.
Nice.
Yeah. And so this new iPad will do that for you. You can use it as a portfolio. And then the other thing that's very exciting to me, of course, is that the iPad is the place where you read iBooks.
Yes.
And I want to direct everybody to iBookCreatives.com, where you can learn more about making iBooks using iBooks Author, which is free from Apple. And now you can make interactive stuff that's just amazing. And pretty soon, as in probably within a week or so of you hearing this podcast, maybe even a day or so, I will have my first iBook along with my partner Richard Harrington in this project. And we've written a book, a very basic book for beginners on understanding the very rudimentary stuff that has to do with exposure and light in photography. And if you don't get that part, it's pretty tough to get the rest of it. So we thought we'd start there. And it's got slideshows, it's got all kinds of cool stuff. So the iPad is going to be great for that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited. Do you think you'll upgrade?
You know, I have every single time, and I will probably again.
So you upgraded to the iPad 2?
Correct. I had the iPad 1. I mean, and I have the eternal justification that I have three kids who can get educated off my excess Apple products.
Yeah, that's always a good excuse, isn't it?
I do. Like, so we've got the main iPad they all share, and then I have the two other phones, the 3G and the one I share. So I feel like I can still push it a few more times before I run out of reasons to justify it.
Well, if you are the kind of person that likes to do projection sales, in other words, you sell your photography in a studio, you project images, Apple also unveiled a new version of what they call Apple TV, which is not a television set, but a little black box that broadcasts to the television set in HD and now works with iClouds and PhotoSync. So you could actually project your images to a large television set from mm-hmm. your computer or your iPad, I think, using the new Apple TV. So that's another factor in today's.
See, now, is that better? Because we got an Apple TV a while ago, and it was lame. Like, it had been promised all these sort of things, but you had to actually wait for every download, like, real time. It's not like you could watch something right away.
It has continued to improve.
Okay.
And the new version is another improvement. Whether or not it's improved enough for you, I'm not sure. But I can tell you.
If we're used to, like, Netflix and Blockbuster, where you just hit boom, and, like, 4 seconds, it's playing.
I think it'll be fairly similar experience, but my interest in it is not so much that, but my ability to broadcast my photos from, like, my laptop to my 55-inch television.
Right.
That's where it comes in for me anyway.
Yes.
So there's a lot of talk about this right now on the internet. Everyone's discussing whether or not they're going to upgrade. The good news is the iPad 2 has gone down in price $100.
I know. I heard that.
So if you're one of those people who...
But is $100 really stopping you from buying or not buying? You know what I mean?
Well, I don't think it's going to stop you or I, but it could stop somebody. So anyway, I don't know. I heard a lot of people saying they were hoping that would happen. So I think it was interesting to people. We'll do that. A couple other little news items I want to get to is that Lightroom 4, if you're a Lightroom user, is gold now. It's out of beta. Nice. And shipping today, I believe.
Way past Virgin Alpha.
I'm gonna make some kind of plaque. Tamara Lackey on this date coined a new term, Virgin Alpha. And along with that, Adobe's released Camera Raw version 6.7 beta. They call it release candidate, which means beta.
See, I'm excited for that.
What's that?
The Camera Raw 6.7 release beta.
It's release candidate, but it's a beta.
That thing, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you played with that?
No.
Okay. Well, now you know.
I do.
So that's out. And some other interesting news. Canon is no longer shipping the 24 to 70 lens.
The first one, because the
new one is on the way any day.
Yes. I did know that.
The 5D Mark III is in the pipeline from what I've been told.
But what does that mean? Like, what happened to the Canon 1DX?
Canon 1DX is coming later.
Yeah, but when?
It took a longer train. We don't know.
You know what I mean? It's like seeing a preview for a movie that won't come out in December of 2013. You're like, well, I'm excited, but what am I doing with this?
It's very interesting to me. They've been quite silent on the 1DX. So I have one on order.
Mm.
I have a D800 on order, too.
I hope you didn't prepay.
I don't prepay for anything.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying, though, right?
Yeah. I have a D4 on order. I have all of them on order so I can test them and see which one I like.
Maybe there's a new business plan in place that we're not privy to, which means that people pre-order and pay like a small deposit, and they collect all those small deposits and start creating a camera.
Sweetie, that's been going on for about 500 years. That's called vaporware production. that's how they used to make computers. If we get enough interest, we'll make the sucker.
I've invented history.
Yeah, I know. See, this is all because of your very young age.
Wow, that's actually very smart. I like that idea, though.
Yeah, pretty good. Hey, before we go on, I want to say, if you want to try any of these new cameras, you know who's going to have them first? Well, after me. Borrow Lenses is going to have them. BorrowLenses.com is going to have the 1DX as soon as it ships. They're going to have the D4, the D800, the 5D Mark III, and all the new lenses. And you can rent them and decide which one you like better. Go to BorrowLenses.com to get more information, or just click on the BorrowLenses.com banner on the PhotoFocus.com site. And also a big shout-out and thank you to Smug Mug. Professional photo sharing, in my opinion, the very best place to sell your photography online. If you do such things, then that's the place to do it. And also great host for video. I love Smug Mug. So thanks to them as well. Hey, over on the site, by the way, photofocus.com, where we publish 7 days a week, and occasionally even Tamara Lackey is nice enough to post something for us.
This is true.
And we're kind of waiting for the next one. That's just a little hint. I ran a poll the other day, and I said, are you considering buying the 5D Mark III or the D800 just to see how much interest there was in you know, these other cameras? And, you know, overwhelmingly, the majority of people said either yes, maybe, yes, considering, or yes, absolutely will.
Well, yeah, it's been a while since we've had something chunky good.
Well, it's been like 3 years for the 5D Mark II.
Yeah, which, by the way, goes back full circle to why when everybody asks, what should I get, a new camera or invest in a camera or lens, it's always lenses.
Exactly.
You can use those all the time.
Yeah, the lenses are good all the time. But we do have a bunch of new lenses coming out. Now, the one thing I think is important to note is all this new stuff costs a lot more than all the old stuff.
Yeah, funny that.
But, I mean, it's a lot more. It really is. Like, the new 24-70 is a lot more than the old 24-70. But you know what? It doesn't even have IS.
Yeah, that surprised me in a disappointing way.
Yeah, I'm like, I really think they're just doing it because they can.
Right, they just eke it out. You don't have to wait for the next one for that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, that's the old joke. You walk into the camera store and you say, hey, I want to see that new 5D Mark III. And the guy goes, no, you don't. You're like, no, really. I want to see the new Canon 5D Mark III. No, you don't. What do you mean I don't? I want to see the new 5D Mark III. He goes, no, you want to see the 5D Mark IV, don't you? He goes, oh, yeah? There's a 5D Mark IV?
That's it.
Everybody wants the next camera.
That's what I was saying. When you said the iPad thing, I said, I'm now disappointed about owning the iPad too. I'm embarrassed. And you didn't laugh. I thought it was funny because of that joke.
I apologize. I don't know what came over me. I missed your wit and witticisms.
Aw.
Just for that 1 second.
It's all right. We're back on track.
Let's take a couple of questions from our audience because they're smarter than us. They know what to say.
Yes.
And there are some good questions. We didn't get any questions in last week, so we'll do this now. Tim Houck writes in, says, do you recommend buying used lenses? I'm seeing some pretty good prices on used lenses from places like Barrel Lenses. What would be missing in terms of warranty? Well, I don't think you get any warranty with a used lens generally, although Adorama may provide, or B&H may provide, some 30-day warranty through their third-party warranting group. Are you aware of any used lenses that come with warranties, Tamara?
I'm not, you know. But I do think there are definitely times where used lens is an excellent option, you know, especially because a lot of people tend to not go the borrow a lens and check it out route, and they instead just buy something and then pretty quickly say, oh, gosh, I'd never use this. Too bad I just sunk $2,500 on this. And then sell it for, you know, it's like the whole car off the lot thing. It loses so much value suddenly. So I'm not aware of that, but I do think that, you know, in many cases, you can find an excellent option for a used lens.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with buying a used lens. I think it's particularly smart to buy a used lens if it's a lens that you don't think you'll use a lot.
You know, explain.
Well, for instance, if your everyday go-to Tamara Lackey makes $1 million worth her 70 to 200 lens.
Mm-hmm.
But she thinks she may need a 14-millimeter rectilinear for that one architectural job she does a year. I don't think it'd be a, you know, big deal if you bought a used copy of the 14.
Yes.
Because you're not using that every day.
Correct.
I will give you a couple of hints if you're going to buy a used lens. I do this every once in a while because I'm really good at this. Look at the lens in the following way. Look at the contact points where it would make contact with the camera body and see if those are worn. If they're particularly worn, this lens is really used up, probably not a good investment. Look carefully inside the lens for dust and, even worse, mold. If there's mold, do not buy the lens.
Do not buy the lens.
If there's dust, kind of on the fence about buying the lens. So these are some things that imply, for instance, that the lens has been in and out of humidity too much, and that starts to really be bad. And then if it's a zoom lens and the zoom action isn't smooth, that's another indicator that the lens has been abused.
Yeah.
So these are some tips for buying lenses. You need to get your hands on these things. But I would say that, you know, the stuff at Barrel Lenses is going to be pretty well used, but I know that they have an excellent maintenance department. So that answers that question. Let's take a question from Petra in Finland. We are internationally beloved here. And it is about aperture. Now, you use Lightroom, right, Tamara?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, this question could we'll apply it to Lightroom as well.
Oh, excellent. I get to play.
Yes. Petra wants to know about can your libraries get too big to be safely backed up? And he wants to know how I do it, and I'm going to ask how you do it. But, yeah, you know, I limit my aperture libraries to 100,000 images. Technically, they'll work at any size, but all database indexes start to get a little hooky as they get large, and it's just easier to maintain. So I create multiple libraries of 100,000 images. I create multiple backups of those libraries, and the aperture, we call that the vault. And that's how I do it. So I go to 100,000 images and I quit. Now, our friend Kevin Kubota, who taught me a little bit about Lightroom, he makes a separate Lightroom catalog for every job he shoots. So his catalogs don't get very big.
Yep, that's exactly what I do.
That's what you do as well.
Yeah, and I just find that much easier from my perspective for filing. So I have to quickly go to a job. It's I have a very simple method to do it, and the more I can keep things simple as it relates to certainly data storage. I mean, there's so many complexities to consider that if something is simple and straightforward for me, I'll do it. Yeah, so in that respect, they don't go over, you know, gosh, the biggest catalogs I have are probably weddings. And so the size of a typical wedding, which I'm not even doing anymore, and then all of those are routinely backed up to external drives as well as our photo server or our cloud. And trying as much as possible to keep everything off the hard drive. That a lot of times I find people, when they ask questions about how much to save in Lightroom, they're talking about keeping it all on their hard drive. And I think keeping a bunch of data, like backup data on your hard drive, is just clogging you up and slowing you down. So as much as possible, moving the work to external drives and using the bulk of your hard drive power to be able to move faster and quicker and more efficiently.
Now that brings about a question from my point of view of... Yes. Do you save these off-site as well?
Yeah, that's the whole, you know, I think, five, 6 years ago, it was, you know, the idea of a data recovery, you know, some sort of disaster recovery, excuse me, program involved a little bit more logistics. Now we can save them all up to, you know, I call it the cloud, but whatever everybody's individual usages are for that, whether it's a third-party resource or an Apple resource or a wireless system that gets stored again to a backup FTP server or something like that. That would be the way I store them externally. And then in addition, I have them on external LaCie drives, which are saved outside of my studio, i.e. my home. And then we have DVD backups, which, you know, I feel like can barely contain anything anymore. And those are kept in the studio.
All right, let's take another question from Curtis Coates in Fairview, North Carolina. Now, I'm going to read the question and then comment on it real quick. Curtis says, since zoom lenses typically extend and retract, which necessitates air being pulled into and pushed out of the lens body, what makes the push-pull type lenses more prone to pulling dust and other contaminants in the lens than the twist-type zooms? Okay, first of all, not all zoom lenses extend and retract in that way, Curtis, so that's a false assumption. It depends on the lens. It depends on whether or not it has a variable aperture and how big that is. But the basic answer to your question is that the push-pull action creates a vacuum that isn't created when it's slid side to side when you simply rotate a dial. When you push and pull, it's like one of those oomph guns. Did you ever have an oomph gun?
No. I'm okay. A vegetarian. I don't have any guns.
It's just a thing that shoots a Nerf ball. It's exactly what a vegetarian would do.
Hey, are you still eating less meat? Are you still vegetarian?
I am.
Yay. Okay, keep going.
Sorry for that little personal programming note, folks. It's been a year, by the way.
That's awesome. It's amazing to me, all the good that comes from that.
But yeah, it's please, all your
please
fault.
Please continue.
Thank you. We'll catch up on that later when we're off mic.
Go vegan. I'm gonna take it rogue again. No, all right. Yeah, it's you.
So anyway, yeah, that's the experience. Now, Tamara, I'm guessing you don't own any push pull zooms.
No.
Yeah, I don't recommend them for that reason. And it's up, you know, I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying that I just don't like to deal with dust. In fact, I'm one of those people that doesn't like to deal with dust to the point where I have a different lens on every camera body.
You really don't want to even possibly chance it.
Yeah, I do not like to remove dust from my sensor.
Yep.
So there's that. Well, I think that's about all the time we have for today's show. Tamara, when you're not gracing us with your presence, where can people find you?
At my website, tamaralackey.com, and on Twitter, Tamara Lackey, and Facebook, Tamara Lackey Photography.
Okay, a whole bunch of those places. And don't forget to check out Redefine. Just Google Redefine, and you'll get to see Tamara in person. And just ignore the episode I'm on, and you'll be happier.
Yeah, and technically it's redefineshow.com.
Okay. Redefine show. Thank you.
And Scott's about four down. All right, keep going.
Okay. And don't forget to check out photofocus.com 7 days a week, 365 days a year, published since 1998, and we've never missed a day. It's all there for you. It's all free and always will be as long as I'm in charge. And tons of photography reviews and news you can use. Follow me on Twitter, Scott Bourne. Just so happens I'm giving away your choice of a D800 or a 5D Mark III. You'll find out more information both on PhotoFocus and on Twitter, so that's another reason to check that out. And we had made an announcement recently that the podcast will probably be coming to an end, and you all simply revolted. I got like 2 kabillion emails saying it was unacceptable, so I have good news for you. The podcast is not coming to an end. It's going to change a little bit, though, and we'll have more information on that in our next show. In the meantime, check us out at photofocus.com. Thank you so much for being on with me, Tamara. It's always good to have you.
Thank you so much. I'm really glad to hear that last piece of news.
Okay, good. Well, I'm going to leave you like I always do. Go out there and make pictures. Do not just take pictures. We'll see you on the very next Photo Focus.